Women's Year in Chayos Halvavos, Wednesday afternoon, Chaf Hei Tammuz. That's Wednesday, Chaf Hei Tammuz, Shir in Chayos Halvavos, Shara Bitachon. Okay, we're learning Chayos Halvavos, Shara Bitachon. We're in Perek Beis. Perek Aleph defined Bitachon in a manner of speaking, defined in the sense that having bitachon means being stress-free. Obviously, the basic definition means to rely on something or someone. But in a way, this is the chiddush of Perek Aleph, in a way that you really feel you're relying on that person. You're totally relying on that person. It's not just, I'm relying on that person to help if they can, and to be an ezer, and my ace in the hole, and just in case things don't work out, I have a plan B. It means to rely on it, that's what it's called, the definition. To rely on someone or something in a way that you are not stressed or nervous because it's being taken care of by someone else, by something else. Perek Beis then goes on to say there are seven. Again, this is all logic and common sense, nothing from yet. There are seven things that would allow you to have that, to have that feeling. The object of your reliance would have to have seven qualities in order to be able to have the bitachon described in Perek Aleph, which is the bitachon of I'm not stressed, I'm calm, because it's being taken care of. Number one is that the object of my bitachon cares about me. Because obviously that's like number one. If they don't, then how in the world can I rely on them when their interests clash with my interests? This knocks out 99% of the population right there. When their interests clash with my interests, so I'm going to lose and they're going to win. So how can I rely on them? So that's number one, that they love me, meaning they care about me. They want what's best for me, and that is the uppermost value. We don't appreciate enough. Again, I don't want to talk about Hashem because he's not talking about Hashem. So I'll keep slipping into it, but I shouldn't. I want to follow the Chavis Halvavos. This is all logical. We want to achieve bitachon. We want to achieve the bitachon of Perek Aleph. So Perek Beis says, listen, to achieve Perek Aleph, you're going to have to believe and internalize and be convinced that the object of your bitachon cares about you and only wants what's best for you. You're going to have to believe that the object of your bitachon is not busy with other things, doesn't get distracted with other things. You don't have to stand in line for the object of your bitachon to take care of whatever it is you want taken care of. He doesn't forget. You're not distracted and not lazy. You're going to take care of it. There's no distractions. You're going to have to believe that. You're going to have to be convinced of that. Number three is, he's going to have to be basically omnipotent. He's going to be able to do it, whatever it is. Whatever you task him with, he's going to be able, he has the power to do it. If he's limited in his power, so then how can you rely on him? Maybe he's not able to do what you want. He's not able to. He loves you. He wants the best for you. And he put that on the top of his list, but ain't a yachol. He can't. Again, very logical. Number four is that he knows what's best for you. Right? If someone cares about you and wants what's best for you and is on top of things and is able to write a prescription, that's not good for you. If he doesn't know what prescription to write for you, he'll write the wrong prescription. Chas v'shalom, it's a sama mavus. You get deathly ill from filling the prescription and taking it. Even though he did you the biggest favor in the world, it was 3 a.m, and he wrote you a prescription, because he's your friend, and he cares about you, and he put it on the top of his list, and he wants you to be well, not sick, but he's ain't yachol. He's yachol. He can write the prescription and get it filled, but he doesn't know.
He doesn't know. He hasn't been trained. He doesn't know. He's missing a yediyah. He's missing your medical history. He's missing knowledge of the other things going on in your body. So he doesn't know. He's able to write the prescription and fill it for you. Wow. But he doesn't know what's best for you. So how can you rely and be stress-free if the person doesn't have this quality? Number four. That was number four. Number five is that the object of your bitachon has dealt with every conceivable kind of situation. You're not just saying he's kol yachol, he can do anything, but and he knows what's best for you and he cares about you. But this is almost psychological. You won't feel stress-free. You won't feel totally calm. The stress meter won't be a flat line. If he never dealt with unemployment. He never dealt with old age. He never dealt with young age. He never dealt with relationships. He never dealt with a million things that come up, right? Any bump in the road, you have to feel, oh yeah, he's dealt with that before. No problem. He's dealt with that before. Because you're wondering. This is a new one. This is he never saw such a curveball. So, it's an interesting psychological insight that you won't be calm unless you feel he's done that before. He's been there. He's dealt with that. It's not new. This is not new. That's number five. So we have, he loves and cares about you. He's aware of what's going on with you. He didn't forget about you, etc. He is capable of doing, he's capable of doing it. He knows what's, I just don't want to mix them up myself. Yeah, he knows what's good for you. No, he knows. And number five is he's been there, done that. Two more. You say, wow, what's left? I'm calm already. I'm nervous. What's the two? What are the two that is left? Right. Vahashishas, we'll start learning inside now. Vahashishas and Perek Bey is the first paragraph probably, I don't know. That there's no other, no one else is going to be involved. Not to stymie that person, and not even to help. See, that this is a psychological insight. If I have a plan B, I'm not going to fully rely on plan A, because I have a fallback position. And we're talking about what qualities do I need to achieve the bitachon of Perek Aleph. That's what the Chavis HaBavos is looking for. What do I need to achieve the bitachon of Perek Aleph? I need that there's no one else that could hurt or harm me. No one else that can do what this person can do. I don't have a plan B. There is no plan B. And he can't stymie plan A. V'ashisha shiyeh inyan abotech kulo moser biyado lo yuchal odom lahaziko ulaho ilo. It's a big, it's a chiddush, but it's not a chiddush. He's not teaching us halachas now. He's not saying chidushim. He's giving us maybe psychological chidushim. How to be calm. You won't rely on Dr. A if you have an option of Dr. B. No matter how great Dr. A is and how much he loves you and how much he has number one, two, three, four, and five, you're not relying on him. If you have a plan B, because in the back of your mind, it's always, okay, so if that fails, and if he fails, boom, that half sentence is already, you're not having bitachon. You can't help it. It's a psychological chiddush. You can't help but rely less than Maya Achuz on doctor number one if you have an option of doctor number two. Even if they're both great. And they're both wonderful, because your bitachon is shared. You have a plan B, so you're not relying. You have an option. When you have an option, you won't fully rely on the first plan. It's a psychological chiddush, and that's what he says. But, and again, we're trying to achieve the bitachon of the three lines of Perek Aleph. Below yuchal adam lazik, you don't have to agree with the Chavis Lubavitch with this if you don't want. He's talking logically, he's talking emotionally, he's talking psychologically, he's defining what it takes to be able to rely. He's not talking about Hashem yet. He wants to bring you, this is a workbook to achieve bitachon in Hashem. He wants you to understand what bitachon means. And he wants you to realize that, as I always say, I'll say it again, having bitachon in Hashem is only confronting reality. That's the reality. That's all you're doing. All you're doing is you're in touch with reality. Because you want to argue with his definition, okay? You know, but he's saying a logical definition. Bitachon means I outsourced it. I'm calm. I don't have an issue anymore. I forgot about it, almost. I'm calm, you know, that person's taking care of it. And that person loves me. And he cares about me. And he only wants what's best for me. And he's not going to be too lazy to take care of me. And he's not going to forget about me or be busy with other things. And he's going to be capable of doing it. And he knows what's best for me. And he has dealt with such inyonim in the past. That's also a psychological chiddush I hold. And there is no one else. I have no other option. I have no other option. This is it. I can only catch the plane if that car pulls up in the next minute and picks me up. Otherwise, and he promised me he would. He promised me he would. Or he didn't promise me he would, but I told him I'm counting on him. And I choose to rely on him. So, is it? I said, this is my only option. Well, so you would think that if it's your only option, you're going to rely, I only need number six to fully rely on him. No, that's not true, because you won't be, you'll still be very, very nervous if the person doesn't give a darn about you. So, you know, you're going to be nervous. You need all six, of course. So that's number six. Again, it's a psychological chiddush that no one can harm you. Well, that's of course, you'll say, if someone else could harm me and stymie what he's doing. I didn't make a bracha because I'm drinking the whole time. That's what my kids always tell me. I learned it from them. I learned that sentence from them. What are you eating without a bracha for? Well, I saw you grab those potato chips. Why didn't you make a bracha? You should have seen me grab the potato chips before. I think this is my first grab of potato chips. In my house, a bracha doesn't count if you don't make it out loud. And they scream, it's a bracha levatola. I say, I don't care. I'm the rub of this house. If you don't make a bracha out loud, you didn't make a bracha. I want to hear the bracha. Because I don't want your nusach of the bracha to be bachat machalam. Which many people have that nusach. You heard of Ashkenaz and Sfarad, now you heard of Bach Machalom. Bahashvius, he says, it's like he compares it to a prisoner in jail. The only way he's getting breakfast is if the Odon, if the jailer, if the warden serves him his breakfast. He has no other way of getting breakfast. So he's relying on the warden. Vashviyas, number seven. Number seven is beautiful. Number seven is wonderful. Number seven is also a psychological insight. In my opinion, number five, six, and seven, you don't really see the need for it. But the Chavis Lubavitch is talking psychology, because he wants you to achieve the bitachon of Perek Aleph. So he's saying in number five, the psychological chiddush, that the person has a track record of dealing with such a situation before. It's a chiddush, because he loves me and he cares about me and he wants what's best for me and he's capable of doing it and he knows what to do. So like, no, and he's done it before. Number six is there's no one else. There is no plan B. And of course, there's no one that can stymie him. That's not the chiddush. That, of course, if there's someone that could stymie him, someone or something, if the weather can stymie him, if he could wake up late, I mean, anything, if anything can stymie him, if he's not omnipotent in the sense that there's someone else from an outside force, the chiddush is if there's no one else that could help him. Number seven is also psychological, and number seven is, and we'll learn it inside, number seven is that the person will do it for me even if I don't deserve it, or else I will be nervous. And this is the killer in bitachon, because we all walk around feeling that we don't deserve it. Why should Hashem be nice to me? I'm not so nice to him. And he know, I mean, if we believe in Hashem, if we have a firm sense of the reality of Hashem, so we're walking around with guilt trips, and we don't. I know Hashem loves me and cares about me and wants what's best for me, but I don't deserve it. And we have so many medrashim, and we know this one got punished, and this one got punished, and this one got punished. You say, "Well, man, if Moshe Rabbeinu got punished, like what chance do I have?" We'll deal with these issues later on when he elaborates on this, because I want to try to stick as much as possible to his point here. Here he's not talking about Hashem, he's talking about a quality needed to have full-fledged bitachon, which is the bitachon defined in Perek Aleph. So you have to be convinced that it will happen even if you don't deserve it. We'll learn the parameters of that when he elaborates, but the psychology to realize I'm not going to have bitachon, again, and make your own list, subtract from his list, add to his list, what would allow me to be fully relying, what would fully allow me to rely on someone or something without having the slightest trace of stress or nervousness. Right? That means you're going to the bank and you give the teller a deposit. You're relying on the teller to record it properly. So you say, yeah, I'm calm. But if you start thinking that the teller can make a mistake, I don't know if it ever happened to you, it happens. The teller can punch in the wrong numbers. So maybe you're not consciously a little nervous, but if it ever happened to you, if you would think about it, and you would hear stories from people that it was punched in and it wasn't done properly, or it's at the end of the day and the teller's tired and it's like a minute to three or whenever they close, always a minute before you got there, and so you would be nervous if you would realize these things. Or the teller had a bad morning. Hello, I can't talk to you now, I'm giving a shiur. Please call me after mincha at 1:35 or 1:40 even. I'm sorry, bye. Hanedivus is the most generous being that you can imagine. B'tachlus hanedivus v'hachesed l'misha ro'i lo u'l'misha eino ro'i lo. Someone that deserves it and doesn't deserve it. Utina divoso, and his generosity is masmedes, is constant. I don't have to think he's going to run out of generosity. And I'll, right when they get, you know, the Misra Napanim closes down right when they get to you in line. You're not afraid it's going to close down when it gets to you. The Chazdo Nimshach, and it's always going to be with you. It's not limited. Lo Yikores v'lo Yiposek. Okay, that's number seven. But now he says, Umi Shenik B'tzubo, when you've gathered together, Kol Amidos O'elu. Maybe it would be a good exercise to try to think of an eighth that he didn't think of. Just to make it real. He's setting us up here. He wants us to understand what having bitachon requires. What relying requires. Relying on anything and anyone. Just the word, the definition. What it means. It means what he says in Perek Aleph. And that will require the seven qualities of Perek Beis. Then he's going to say, you can't rely on anyone but Hashem. That's what he's going to say till the end of Perek Beis. He's going to say, people, this is reality. It's reality. You cannot be tochen anyone but Hashem. That's just the reality. Because I intellectually convinced you, or taught you, or made you realize that you can't have bitachon unless someone has these seven qualities. I mean, you can have bitachon, but not the bitachon that I'm talking about. I'm talking about the bitachon in Perek Aleph, that you're unstressed. So that, and then you're going to say, so there's only Hashem, no one else has these seven qualities. How do you achieve it? That's going to be in Perek Gimel. Perek Gimel is going to be, right, we're getting to Perek Gimel, which is, okay, what do I do? Give me the exercises. Give me the exercises. What do I think about? What do I do? What do I memorize? What do I contemplate? You know, people, it's a problem. I can't help that people don't think anymore. I can't help it. You know, I can't help it. It's a problem. But he tells you what to think about in Perek Gimel. Then in Perek Daled, he says, this is all very nice. Let's have some real life examples. And I'm going to teach you how to implement your bitachon. That's in Perek Daled. It's an amazing Perek Daled. We have a far way to go to get there. I'm just mapping him out. From here to the end of the Perek, he's going to talk about reality. And therefore, you can't have bitachon in anything or anyone other than Hashem. And having bitachon in Hashem is not a religious requirement. Well, it is a requirement, but you know, it's not one of the 200, it's not one of the mitzvahs. Not a requirement in that sense. It's a requirement of a believing Jew. It's a midah we're supposed to be kona, and it's reality because you're always relying on something, and it's a false idol. It's a avodah zarah. You're relying on your friend. You're relying on your protector. You're relying on your money. You're relying on your boss. You're relying on your good looks. You're relying on your charisma. You're relying on, you're the best person in the field. You're relying on your capabilities. You're relying on your charm. You're relying, it's all avodah zarah. It's avodah zarah. It doesn't have, it certainly, even just logically, it doesn't have the seven qualities. So what are you relying on? You know, you lean on something and you fall over. That's what Yirmiyahu Anovi said to Bnei Yisrael about Mitzrayim. It's a mishenes kone rotzutz. You're leaning on something, but it's a broken reed. A reed is weak. Reed's not going to hold you up if you lean on it. And it's a broken reed. It's not even a good reed. Mishenes kone harotzutz hazeh. You want to trust in America? Right? For many years, Israel, still many people. I'm not talking about the Kofrim, because what do you expect for the Kofrim? They don't believe in Hashem. So you can't expect anything from them. I'm talking about believing Jews. Believing Jews who relied on America and Israel, relied on America, relied on who knows what, and then, right, it doesn't take much to see that we're relying on America gets you. So that's what he says. I'm lapsing into Frumkeit, I apologize. All these seven things. That's all I can think of. I'm finished with the requirements to be able to have bitachon in something or somebody. And once these seven things are true, you should have bitachon in this person. His chayev means, doesn't, I mean, it could mean chayev in the sense of an obligation, but Chavis Adolvus uses the word chayev, or Ibn Tibon uses the word chayev in the sense of it's muchroch, it's compelling, it has to happen. Like they say, like in modern Hebrew, I'm not used to it, but that's how they use the word chayev, right? Ani chayav l'leches l'Yerushalayim hayom. You don't mean I'm obligated to go, you mean I mamish have to. So that's what he means. Bishotanuach nafsho olav, and you will rely on him benafsho, meaning in your subconscious, your heart's not beating faster. Begiluya ubenistaro, meaning deep down in your subconscious. Belibo ubeivorov ulihimoser oilov, you will want to fulfill his will. Why? We'll learn later in Perek Gimel, so I'm not going to explain those two words now. That'll be explained in Perek Gimel. Belirtzos b'gezeirosav, that'll also be explained later, but that maybe we're not puzzled. Why? Because if I truly believe that, again, he's not talking about Hashem, but if I truly believe that someone loves me and cares about me and wants only what's best for me, etc., 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 so, you know, and if he's going around me, I want you to go to the other side of town today, you know, and stand there for 4 hours and scream at the passing cars, you're going to do it. If no, I'm not going to do it. Well, then you don't really believe that the person cares about you, has a bad chance, you sit hot, knows what's good for you. Nothing is stopping him from doing what's good for you, etc., 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 etc. So you don't really believe it. Okay. It's very hard. It's like I don't believe it. Because it's never true. But it is true by Hashem. That's the point. But it, having bitachon brings you to being mekabel what Hashem does. We'll learn about that. But we see it already. I mean, we can sense it. Because if I want to have bitachon on Hashem and I work on myself to believe that Hashem loves me and cares about me and only wants what's best for me, just number one. And if I really have internalized that, we're not talking fake here. We're talking I truly internalize that. So then whatever Hashem throws at me, I know it's for the best. It just, that's not what bitachon is. Bitachon, the midah of bitachon is not the midah of saying koma to ovid rachmona letav ovid. It's not that. That's not what it is. But to have bitachon, you have to inculcate within yourself the understanding and the knowledge and the realization that Hashem cares about you more than anyone else cares about you, more than your spouse, more than your parents, more. He cares about you the utmost it's possible, and he knows what's best for you. So when you have that, because you're busy achieving bitachon, so then like kol ma dovid rachmona l'tavo, but it's a no brainer because you're there already. You don't even have to work on it. You worked on it by the back door, because you've been trying to achieve bitachon. So you say, okay, number one, number two, that's it. One and two, it's enough. It's enough to say, kol ma dovid rachmona l'tavavid. Maybe you want number four also, that Hashem knows what's best for you. He's not going to write the wrong prescription for you. You say, oh man, this didn't work out. Yeah, I know Hashem wants what's best, but I know this is the best job. This is the best thing for me. No, you don't know. Hashem knows much better than you what's best for you. Yeah, but who says, that was number seven. All right? You got these little flashes. I took a test yesterday. So the doctor thought I have to test my Sade vision. I guess it sounds like it means peripheral vision. Sade, field of vision. I guess how much peripheral vision I have, I don't know. So I'm looking at a light and I have to stare at the light. And meanwhile, this flashes all around and I have to press a button when I see a flash, I guess out of the corner of my eye, because I'm supposed to stare right ahead. He only had to tell me 3 times, wake up, you fell asleep. So, there's like these flashes, you know. Okay, this is happening to me. Yeah, this is horrible. Whoops, that's not flash. That's number one. It's not, Hashem cares about you. Hashem knows what's best for you. Yeah, but maybe he's mad at me. Oh, number seven. This is what it is. This is what you have to achieve. And the Chodesh Avodas is brilliant. I shouldn't talk like that, because the Chodesh Avodas, like, we don't understand what the Chodesh Avodas was. The first Rishon, before the Ramban, before the Rambam, before Rashi. Like early, a Talmud of the Gaonim. He's going slow. He says, let's define it first. Okay? First he gives you a hakdama. So you're like, I want this. Right? I want this. Because you say, what do I need it for? What do I need it for? So that I should learn that I shouldn't be worried. I like being worried. A bunch of people out there that like being worried because they don't want to put everything in the hands of Hashem. Because they're scared. and they think they want to because they think they can, and they think they're better off. They won't talk like this. I'll talk like that. They think they're better off controlling their own fate. So it's a fantasy, because you're not controlling your own fate anyway. The pity of it all is that the people who are screaming pragmatism and being practical are the ones that are living in a world of fantasy, where Hashem is not the one deciding what's going to happen to them. That's a shalom. Right. So he's taking it slow. First he writes his Hakdama. So you say, I want that. Ooh, I really want that. That's like, my life will be blissful. Right? Spiritual. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Physical, Olam Hazeh. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And he went through the whole thing, the whole litany in the Hakdama. He says, okay, let's take it slow. Perek Aleph will teach you what you want to achieve, because if you don't know what you want to achieve, you're never going to achieve it, no matter how hard you try, because you don't know what you want to achieve. So that's number one, Perek 1. Now Perek 2 is saying, okay, let's realize that you need these 7 things to be able to achieve that. And now he's going to say that that reality is that it's Hashem. Perek Gimel will teach us how to do it, because he didn't how to yet. He's setting us up to make sure we understand what we're talking about, that we believe in it, that we trust it, that we are convinced that it's so. How can you not be convinced that it's so? You want to give a different definition for bitachon, give a definition for bitachon, okay. Then you're not in the Chavis world. But if you want to rely on Hashem, then he's telling you, well, then you're going to have to rely on Hashem in a way that you're not nervous anymore. Again, this is a goal. It could take 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years to achieve the goal. We're talking deep down in your kishkes. We're not talking about lip service. Mitzvah Shem. We're not talking about that. We're talking about really not being nervous. We're talking about really being mekabel b'simcha, anything Hashem throws at us. It's almost superhuman, except if it would be superhuman, then we taka wouldn't be expected to do it. Yeah.
It seems to me that a big piece of this is you really have to believe, because there's a lot of things that happen that you'll never know in this world.
You have to be convinced that the 7 things are true about
right.
Hashem. Yeah. So you make no bones about that.
Right.
If you don't achieve that, well, maybe we have to go back to Shara Yichud and say, well, Hashem is there. Well, how do I believe that Hashem, maybe Hashem is evil? I mean, Hashem, who says Hashem is good? So you have to go back and learn Shara Bechina. That Hashem made a world full of tov, and everything is tov, and everything is made for the benefit of mankind. And you learn Shara Bechina, and that's just and he said that's just a small piece of the pie. It's so much more. But he says, I'm not writing a book that's going to fill a whole library here. This is just one shahr in my sefer chavis, in one sefer. But then you start thinking about your life. Yeah. That's it. That's why it's built like a building. You gotta learn Shar HaYichud, or you have to at least be holding that you believe Hashem is real, that He's out there and He's controlling everything. Shar HaBechina teaches you He's Tov. Really, that's what it is. It teaches you He's Tov. We don't think about it, but because we don't do it. We learn it, and it's boring. And if you study just the eye, you'll be so struck with Hashem's generosity and Hashem's brilliance and how everything is set up to work just so. And then comes Shara Avodas Elokim, because that requires something of us. It requires us to want to say thank you to Hashem, and that's the basis for keeping Torah and Mitzvot according to the Chavis Halvavas, not because it's the ground level absolute. Is it's a way of feeling gratitude, and our avodah is based on saying thank you. It's such a tremendous chiddush, and I don't think anybody before him or after him has ever said that. It's a tremendous chiddush, and the basis of our avodah. Avoda is, because this is our way of saying thank you, and we are supposed to be so suffused with gratitude that, yeah, okay, of course. Then he says, okay, but sometimes it's tough. What's going to help you the most in being an Oved Hashem? Boom, Bitachon. That's what he said. That was the first line of Shara Bitachon. I'm writing this after the Shara Avodas Elokim because there are so many difficulties in life and so many distractions and so many bumps that if you don't have Bitachon, you're not going to be. It's going to be very hard to be Oved Hashem. So I'm now going to teach you how to develop Bitachon so that you can be an Oved Hashem. Okay, now we're going to learn Bakasha Nachar Leila Shiva Tanoim. And the Chazal Davis is going to quote an awful lot of psukim, because I guess he lived in a world where people knew Tanakh, and rather than philosophize, he just throws psukim at us, and he expects people to know the psukim and to walk around and think about the psukim. If I want to think about how Hashem loves me, so he, oh yeah, that pasuk and that pasuk and that pasuk. We can't do that, but he does it. Lo nimtzem klal bebruim. We're not going to find it. It's like a joke to think about it by anyone. V'nimtzem kulam bebore. So he's establishing from here till the end of the perek that the reality of bitachon will only be in Hashem, and nothing else is bitachon. It's a mirage. It's fake. It's a avodah zarah. Shumarachem al briyosav. That was number one. Kemosha Kosuv Rachum v'Chanun Hashem v'Omar v'Amilo Ochus al Ninve Ha'ir Hagadola. That's even Goyim. V'Sheinu Mesaleim. If you're following along, that's number two. Kemosha Kosuv Inei Lo Yonam v'Lo Yishon Shomer Yisrael v'Shuhu Chocham v'Lo Yenutzach. That was number three. Kemosha Kosuv Chacham Leiva v'Amitz Koach v'Hiksho Elav v'Yushlam v'Omar. They all mean something. He was always there. He dealt with everything already. So he's been there when you were conceived. He's there nurturing the seed, making sure it catches. Doesn't always catch, then you wouldn't exist. We wouldn't even be zoicha to be a rock or an island. That's the growth of the fetus and the body. No one can hurt or help you. Ki imbi al habori yisal alavado kumo shenemar. Mize omar vatehi Hashem lo iva lo siva mipiyanin lo seitze haroz ato v'omar yovish chotzer no vel tzitz v'dvar alokeinu yukum li olam v'omar achen chotzer ha'om. We're going to read this in Eicha rather. Ukvar hezbor ha'inyan hazeh b'maymer hashlishi min ha'sefer hazeh, meaning Shara Avodas Elokim, V'meshei Yesh Bodai, and Perek Ches, he talks about Gzeiros Hashem, always coming true, and how that works out with Bechira. That's what he's alluding to here. Perek Ches in Shara Avodas Elokim, V'shene Divuso, his generosity, Koleles, V'chazdo Sove, K'mo Shenemar, Tov Hashem Lakol, V'rachamom Al Kol Ma'asov. Yeah, three psukim from Ashrei. We say it every day. You know what saying Ashrei means? That's our expression for saying something without thinking about what it means. Oh, he said Ashrei. Vomar, isn't that sad? Isn't that sad that's a colloquialism for not understanding what you're talking about? Davin's up Ashrei. No selechem b'chol bosor kili olam chazdo. Just saying that 26 times every Shabbos morning. Kili olam chazdo. Boom, boom, boom. Wow. Yeah, taka. You believe it or you don't believe it. The Omar Pesach es yadecho mazbi alechol chayrotzon. The Haseichel Chavis Halbavis wants you to have seichel. Goes there, demands that he covets Eila Shiva and Yonim Babori Yisala, that these seven things will only come together in Hashem. Be built the Hanavraham, and they ain't true about his creations. He's saying it's logical. I'm just giving you psukim as a mnemonic device. So that, you know, it's a way of remembering. You know, he thinks we know Tanakh. He thinks, can I stick with the seichel, please? Like, these psukim, I can't even read them. I don't know where, I never heard of them before, and I can't read them. I can barely pronounce the words. He's saying it's logical. And I'm only giving you these psukim. What do you need psukim for? This is, the Chavis Halbavis, remember, he says logic comes first. He says, this is logical. Why am I giving you these psukim? It's just a way to remember. It's a memory aid. You'll make a mnemonic device in your mind. You can't remember philosophical points, so I'll give you psukim, and this way you'll remember. Oh, let's see, the posuk in Yirmiyo, and the posuk in Shayo, and the posuk in Tillim. Vasechel goyze, bikobets. I'll have to call you after Mincha. Vasechel goyze, bikobets, elu ashiva, and yonim, babori, yisalami, bilti, and evram, lochene, besi, elu, psukim, and akosim, lezikorum, balabat, only as a memory aid. Vachashe, okay. Now, finish up Perek Beis. V'chasher yisbar zelo odom. This is the second half of Perek Beis. Is these things are all true about Hashem, they're not true about anyone else, anything else. So I can, yes, I can have bitachon in Hashem. Wow, but how? It's going to be Perek Gimel. V'chasher yisbar zelo odom. It's not easy. Someone's going to ask, but Hashem is not good. Why did that child die right after he was born? Maybe Hashem is not always good. Maybe sometimes not good. But tishchazek hakaroso. Yeah, you have to achieve clarity. Ba'amitas chesed habore, in the absolute objective reality of Hashem's chesed, then yiftach bo. Then you're going to achieve bitachon, the mosere love, which again we're not explaining, but we'll see it in Perek Gimel. You will be moser to Hashem because you will want to say thank you. You will want to do His will. The aniach hanagoso olav, you're going to let Him take care of everything. You farm it out. The lo yachshideu bedino. Oh, that's beautiful words. He's no fool. The Chavis Halbavis. He knows exactly what we're thinking. And he uses the word, you won't be chayshid in Hashem that he messed up or that he doesn't want what's good for you. You won't be chosheg him. Chosheg, you won't suspect him of being asleep at the switch, or maybe he doesn't like you. Below you skatzefal b'chirosolo, and you won't get angry at what he chose to put your way. You won't get angry or resentful. That's a very important midah. Chavis Halbavis talks about it at length in Shaar Cheshbon HaNefesh. You can't be resentful or angry or upset. Kamo Shemar David Olav HaShalom. And that's David. David achieved that. See, we're not talking about a simple matter. You know, walk out of here and say, you know. David achieved that. As we see, and he quotes two psukim from David. Now, no one had a harder life than David. David had a very, very difficult life. He was born, they threw him out of the house, shipped him away. Everybody said he's a traitor child. His father-in-law wanted to kill him. His son wanted to kill him. Everybody was convinced Hashem is super mad at him because of the Bathsheba incident. I mean, his whole life was 70 years, and most of them were miserable, so to speak. But he says this, and he was able to say, Kos Yeshuos Esa Uvishem Hashem Ekra, the Omer, and he also said, Tzora V'yobo Nemtza Uvishem Hashem Ekra. See, so when we read the Psukim, and they're only 10 psukim apart. But when we read Torah v'yoganem, Torah v'shem Hashem ekra, so we think, we assume it means that Torah v'yoganem, Torah v'shem Hashem ekra, al davin tashem, please save me. And when we read Kos Yeshua says so, v'shem Hashem ekra, we say, oh, I'll say Hallel. So obviously the Chavis HaLobos is not learning like that. He's learning that David HaMelech says, whatever you throw at me, whatever you throw my way, b'shem Hashem ekra, I realize it's from you, I'm boteach in you, I know it's for my good, I'm someach of what you throw at me, no matter what, whether it's Tzorah v'yogon, or it's Kos Yeshuos. And that's obviously how Chavis HaLobos is learning, otherwise it has no pshat to bring these to psukim. If it means something else, then what's his point? And his point is, that's what David HaMelech achieved, once you are convinced that these seven things are true about Hashem, you can become like David HaMelech. No matter what he throws your way, you're in love with Hashem, and you know if you're convinced someone loves you, just to take that one out of the seven. If you really believe someone loves you, and then you come home, you know, and you ask them to everyday life, come home and you ask them to do the laundry, and they didn't do the laundry, so you don't get mad at him, right? You know he loves you, and you love him, and you know he has a darn good reason why he didn't do it. Yeah, he forgot about it. Okay, but that's number two. See, Hashem doesn't forget about things. That's where number two comes in. Because your husband, you could say he loves me and I love him, but he forgot about it. So that's number two. He didn't know which button to push on the washing machine. So that's number three. Right? Number three. And that, v'chahena v'chahena. Perek Gimel is going to start teaching us. And the first part of Perek Gimel, which is to teach us and to convince us that it doesn't take anything for granted. Doesn't say is to convince us that the seven things are true about Hashem. That's, you see, he's going to repeat all the things now in Perek Gimel about Hashem. And many people think it's a repetition of the end of Perek Beis, but it's not. He didn't say anything at the end of Perek Beis other than I gave you a definition in Perek Aleph. I told you what's necessary to have the definition be true about anything. That's the first half of Perek Beis. Then I said, let's face reality, people. The reality is it's only true about Hashem. It's not true about anybody else. That's the end of Perek Beis. Now, we get to work. And the first order of business, and that's the first part of Perek Gimel, is how do I develop a clarity that each of these seven things is true about Hashem. And he talks about each of the seven things now in Perek Gimel from the perspective of Hashem. And of course Hashem is this, and of course Hashem is that, and of course Hashem is the third thing, and the fourth, and the fifth, and he's myrich, because three is the workshop. Three is, okay, I'm getting down to work. I can't start having bitachon until I believe, I can't, there's no shortcuts. Until I believe that the seven things are true about Hashem, I cannot develop bitachon. I have to work, and that, it's a lifetime, it could be a lifetime of work. It's not an easy thing. It's easy to pay lip service to bitachon. That's what's easy, but it's hard to develop it because everything mitigates against it. That's what the Shechadah Kabbalah said in the beginning of Shara Bechina. He said there's three things that ruin our appreciation of Hashem, no matter what we do and what we say and how much we learn. The reason I had to write Shara Bechina is because we take things for granted, number one, because once we breathe for a week, then we take for granted that we can breathe. Number two is we feel even if we achieve that, wow, I'm breathing. Wow, it's something, but we feel entitled to it. That's number two. And number three is nobody's hiding anything. Number three is life is full of problems, and life is full of difficulties, and life is full of bumps in the road, and things we have to cope with and deal with. Everyone's life, and that, so Hashem is not good. He says, that's why I wrote Shaar HaBechina. That's why I wrote Shaar HaBechina. That's what he writes in Shaar HaBechina. That's how he starts with Shaar HaBechina. I'm writing it because of these three things. You take it for granted, so you don't feel thank you. You don't feel gratitude. You feel entitled to it, so you don't feel granted. And you want to know how come you're not making ends meet. How come the daughter's not doing a shidduch? How come the son is causing you susagmus nefesh? How come, I mean, life, we all know life. Whose life is smooth? What was his name? There are answers to all of this, but you know, the beauty of learning Shaar HaBechina is that you're not going to accept the answers until you're convinced that Hashem is a meitiv. See, then it's just, I have a kasha. Okay, so I'll give you a teretz. And I learn a piece of Gemara. You could leave. You leave, it's okay. I'm not. It's okay to walk out. If I learn a piece of Gemara and I'm convinced I understand it, and I'm convinced I know it, so I'm not fazed by questions. See, until I'm convinced I understand it, then any question throws me for a loop. Because, I guess my understanding of the Gemara is wrong. Or my understanding of the Chayil Lovis is wrong. But if I have achieved that I am convinced that I know what's pshat, then a question doesn't faze me. As they say in Brisk, a famous, von akasha shtartmanisht. You don't die from a question. Meaning, question and answer. You're not going to accept any answer if you're not going to be convinced. A priori, how do you pronounce that word? Really? Well, that's a nace. If you're not convinced a priori that Hashem is a meitiv, then you won't accept any teretz. You'll say, oh, thank you, yeah, shkoyach. I have this sorrow, and it's because it's good for my neshama. You won't accept it in your heart of hearts. You don't want to be a pikiris, But we're talking chayes halvavos. We're talking deep down. We're not talking about what you tell your friends when you gather together. That's a great question.
It hurts. You can say your brain is the best thing, but it doesn't mean you feel that.
That's right. That's why we say dynamis, because it hurts. Because to achieve that it doesn't even hurt is not going to happen in Olam Hazeh. That's the answer. But the Gemara says that you're besimcha. You're besimcha. Now, how could something hurt you're besimcha? I don't know. Think of an operation. Think of an operation when you know he's cutting out of your body, chas v'shalom, something real bad, and it hurts like anything. In Olam Haba, it won't even hurt. Okay, let's stop here. I'm really sorry. Please, I'm sorry. Hello? No. Hello? Yeah. Well, can you call me in two minutes, please? I'm sorry. Yeah, in 2 minutes. Yeah. Yes, when I walked through the Arab Shuk, my heart was pounding. Right, that's why that person, me, has not achieved bitachon in my life, and we're learning chovos halvavos.
So ideally,
we're learning chovos bitachon is a chovos halvavos. I have to not be nervous. Now, again, we're not dealing with if it's a dangerous place, and therefore it's lacking in ishtadlus. That's a whole separate parasha. That is the. What's it called? The default excuse for not having to talk on it. You say, oh, it's tablets, it's tablets.
But isn't that technically not a dangerous place? I mean, we're not necessarily.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying I'm not getting into that inyan if it's dangerous or not. Assuming it's not technically dangerous, quote unquote, then if. But your heart's pounding. So that means I'm having to talk on here, but I'm not doing chavos halvavos. Not in my life. Yeah. What? What's next week?
The 9 days. Yeah, we're still continuing.
Oh, you mean you'll be besimcha? Yeah, you're allowed to be besimcha. Yeah. Oh, we'll see. I'm not thinking that far ahead. I'll be happy if I wake up tomorrow morning.
Wait,
it's really, not fair. Someone needed me, and it's past the time of the shiur. If you wait, I'll answer your question, but I must at least return the call of the person I just hung up on.
Do you mind?
No, I'm
good.
Okay, good. So I'll be like 3 to 5
minutes. Yeah, I'm sorry. I can talk. We have nowhere to put it here. We don't. I went through this with my wife. We don't have where to put it. No, there's no room. Absolutely no room. You want me to come with you now? I'll help you. I went over this question with my wife, and it's crazy because Friday we're going to have to bring it here. It's crazy. No, we went through the whole building. There's no room. Okay. I'm sorry.
So where the din part with the tzaddik, how he's always, you know, judging with din. Where does rachamim kick in ever in a tzaddik? Because you watch
it's very complicated. The tzaddik wants to be judged with din.
No, but there's a YouTube video with Rav Steinman, believe it or not. You know, and people are going to him like about a school taking a child, and Rav Steinman's like, "What do you want? Where do you want him to go? Like to the zoo? Like of course you should take the child, you know?"
Yeah.
So like, where does rachamim play in? Like,
I'm lost. I have no idea what you're talking about. What rachamim? Who's rachamim? Shem's rachamim.
I guess, right.
Well, you can ask that about a lot of things. People are sick. You know, people are sick. People don't get married. People don't have children. We have to take things slow. Like, you know.